Well, I want to talk about an important subject this morning. I guess everything is important in the Bible, but today this is important, more important than anything. What it means to be born again. Praise God. Amen. We're going to talk about salvation. And let's go over to John chapter 3 and verse 5. I'm reading the King James Version here, and we'll get on to our teaching this morning. And by the way, I want to say, we pray for you every day. All the members of this church, I pray for you. My wife prays for you. We go to prayer every morning, every day. We go to bat for you. And I ask God to help you. I pray for you financially. I pray for your kids. I pray that God protects you. That's my job. That's part of what I do. But all of the staff do that, I believe. And we encourage everyone to do it. Pray for one another. So you don't have to ask. Praise God. But we're responsible to pray for our own things too. God instructs everyone to pray for themselves and to pray for their own needs. But there are times you need help, but not every day. But we need to be, God wants us to be sufficient in Him, to believe Him, so that you don't have to go to the pastor or some kind of a strange minister on the line. And they can, you know, take your request, but you can do it yourself just as easily as the next guy, because you are special to God, and God knows you. He knows you by name, and He'll hear your prayer quicker than anybody else. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Pray, and you don't have to spend hours and hours and hours in intercession. Just give a few minutes. Start off with a few minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes. Pray, or pray whatever you can, and when you stop at the lights, maybe just say a little prayer for Pastor Ken, and people like him. He needs lots of prayer, praise God, amen. We just appreciate all the staff and all the people that are working here. And I was away last week for Sunday, and Sunday night I heard there's an abundance of leadership showing up, and there's a great job. And Pastor Dave, where is he? He's right there. He's doing double duty this morning. He's ushering. And he does whatever is needed. Sometimes he does things we don't need. I was in my office yesterday studying, and he shows up. Suddenly he appears like Jesus. And he startled me because he was standing there with a bag. I thought he was going to kill me. But he had a garbage bag, I guess he's emptying the garbage, so we appreciate him and people like that. There's people here that come in throughout the week, and I come in once in a while. I see someone cleaning the offices and someone cleaning the floors, and different ones are doing different things. There's always something going on, the other morning, every day. I think some of the girls, they stayed here till I think they might have slept here. They were downstairs working on the youth center. And if you want to go see that, go and check it out downstairs. There's a youth center down there. Somewhere down there. And then we're going to be working on as the basement, they call it. We won't call it the basement. We'll call it the lower section of No, we'll call it something nicer. But there is a, used to be like a, is it used to be called a gym? A child's gym. You can't throw balls very high down there. But when we first moved here, and actually, if you believe it, we were down there worshiping God. And we were there for several weeks, I think, before we moved into this facility. And thank God. You know, hey, by the way, we're almost finished paying this off. I think it's this end of this year. I think by Christmas time we'll be paid off. Amen. Paid off in the name of Jesus. And, you know, we paid Geraldton, the building off in Geraldton, and this one is almost the same year. So thank God for your giving. It's all because of you, and you're doing it. And everything you see here is because of what people give. We don't receive any kind of sponsorship from Coca-Cola or Tim Hortons or anybody like that. It's your giving and multiplying everything you see here, all the lights. It's because you give. And we have, in the summertime, we have cooling. And wintertime, you know, we have the heating system. So thank you so much. We appreciate you. And that's why we believe. You know, the Lord put in my heart to pray for my partners every day. And I pray for every single person giving to Spirit of Love Television. I can't go anywhere. You ask my wife in this city. People always stop me. And one guy yesterday, we went to Last night we went to Walmart, and he shook my hand. He kept shaking my hand. He said, thank you for who you are. And I was astounded. I said, that guy really loves you, my wife says. So after my wife left, I paid him the $20, and he left. And so it's really wonderful. And I was so fearful of doing this first, being the Spirit of Life head, because, people can be pretty cruel, and you go places. But people have been so gracious to me in the city. People who actually never come to church, they don't go to church, and they appreciate that we're doing this in our city. And so I want to thank you, partners, and we pray for that opportunity. And people have said, hey, I prayed with you, you know, I received Jesus, and so on. So again, we're doing it together. I just happen to be at the helm and doing that. So pray for me, if you can, so that we can reach people. Next Tuesday, I believe, I'll be on the 700 Club Canada, doing a part of the festivities of our Indigenous people across Canada. And so pray that I'll be able to say the right words and do something good for our community. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, those are news. I got other news, but we'll save that for later. There's more news to come. Praise God. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you this morning for this word. I pray that every heart would be receptive. There'll be a soft heart this morning. And every ear will be a listening ear and eyes open. I pray that they'll have supernatural ability to see beyond even my words. And you, by your Spirit, that you open up their eyes to see exactly who they are in Christ and how important they are and how precious they are. And you died for each one of them and what they are and what they can do. We give you praise for the Word of God, and there's nothing like your Word. It gives light to the darkness. It shines in places. It brings people out of gutters, brings them into palaces. We thank you for the people of God, and those that are broken in spirit, they feel that they're downcast. I pray in the name of Jesus that healing anointing would flow to them this morning, that their eyes and their ears would be just so elated with the Word of God, happy and joyful. We give you praise in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 5 in King James Version. We're talking about what it means to be born again. Our topic, of course, is new life and or eternal life. Jesus answered, and Jesus answered, said, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again. You know, it's a generic term, man. It means human. Except a man be born again of water and of the Spirit, he can enter the kingdom of God. You know, people have to hear the word of God. Water is often referred to the Bible as the word. You know, if you see that in the scripture, sometimes you see a washing of the water of the word, the scripture says in Ephesians. You need to hear the word of God and of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the one who transforms, takes that, and he transforms a person's life. And so the idea of what I want to get across to you this morning is this. Being born again is a spiritual experience. It's a procedure in which God will recreate your human spirit into the likeness of his own spirit for eternal life in Christ Jesus. So when someone comes to Jesus, there's many scriptures that show this in the New Testament. God baptizes you into the body. That's not the water baptism that we are all accustomed to understand. Water baptism is really a maneuver that we perform to show what happened to us. When we went down in the water, it shows us that we were put under or put into the body of Christ. And that being raised from the water signifies that we were raised from the dead. You know, as far as God's concerned, when Jesus was on the cross, we were on the cross with him. When he suffered on the cross, we suffered with him. When he went down, we suffered. And we went down to hell with him. That's called identification. And when he was raised and he sat at the right hand of the Father, that's where we are. Your position is right now is seated at the heavenly places in Christ. Right now, as a born-again believer, you're sitting in heaven with Jesus, spiritually speaking. But you're here right now. But as far as God's concerned, you're there with Jesus. Amen. You've been raised together. The scriptures, the New Testament shows us where our position is. And so as a new child of God, you have privileges that God has afforded to you by Jesus, his redemption, paid for some things. And so I want to go over this morning. So as an introduction, Jesus introduced this topic of being born again to a man who was a spiritual leader in the Jewish faith. This man didn't know anything about the subject of being born again. He had heard about it because the prophets, Ezekiel and Jeremiah spoke about one day that God would give us a new heart, a new spirit. But he didn't understand this. And so he needed to understand what it meant to be born again. And like so many of us in churches, many don't know the significance of being born again. They think being born again is just when God forgives you. There's more to being born again just being forgiven. Amen. So we wanna look at that aspect a little bit more closely. So it means more than being forgiven, that one day perhaps you'll enter heaven. And people think, you know, even they're born again. Some people are born again, and then they doubt whether or not they'll make heaven. That shouldn't be so. So we need to be taught. We see many, many people coming to the altars on a regular basis in different places. They're getting born again when they're already born again. It's just that their mind has not been renewed in the fact of this whole subject. If you got born again and if you sin, you don't become unborn again unless you reject Jesus. So when you get born again, you're born again forever. Unless you reject Jesus. Unless you say, I don't want Jesus anymore. I don't want to go to church. I don't want Jesus. And you just leave. And Hebrews says, you cannot turn that guy back again. But just because someone's weak and they fall off into a wrong path, it doesn't mean they're lost forever. They might be lost in terms of finding their path, and they might be confused a bit. But we need to bring these people in. And so many people condemn people when they fall away. And so we need to help people. Amen? So I'd like to slap you around a little bit for being mean to people. But, you know, I just get mad at people because these people are born again. They're just children of God who failed. And we should teach people who they are so that they come up in the name of Jesus. And instead of telling them, you're no good, you'll never make it, you're a failure. And so, no, we need to tell about who they are. So Jesus had a discussion with this man called Nicodemus. Let's look further in the discussion. And what did Jesus say? What is something that we can take from this discussion for our lives today? Let's go read here and several scriptures. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures. Are you ready? John chapter 3, verse 1 to 27. No, just 1 to 18. It says here, there was a man of Pharisees. You know, there's a group called the Pharisees. And there's another group called the Sadducees. Somebody says, why are they called Sadducees? Because they're always sad, you see. So they were Sadducees. So these Pharisees, they were related to the Sadducees. They were not too far behind. So this man called Nicodemus was part of the Pharisees. It says a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher. Thou art come from God. No one can do these miracles that you do, that dost thou, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily I say unto you, verily, verily I say to you, unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Of course, people are blind without God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say it to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. It says you must, you have to. This is what Jesus said. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou cannot see whence it cometh, whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel? Thou knowest not these things. Verily I say unto you, we speak that we do not do know and testify we have what we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, this is talking about in the book of Numbers, I believe it's chapter 21, God told Moses to make a serpent and put it on a pole and put it up. And he says, put a snake in, the medical profession have a snake on their symbol of healing, and that's what they got it from. And he said, anybody who looks at that snake will be healed. And we need to look at the snake. The snake is basically symbolic of sin, what Jesus became sin on the cross. And that's what it was. And we will look to him because he took your sin to the cross. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but will happen. You'll have eternal life. How many of you have eternal life today? Say amen.
Amen.
And if you don't, you can get saved right now. You don't have to wait for me to pray. You can pray yourself, say, God, save me, and you'll be saved. Amen. You don't have to wait for any preacher. You don't have to tell anybody. Just go ahead and receive Jesus today. Amen. So, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's pretty good, isn't it? For God sent not his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So we get saved through Jesus. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So he's talking here about a spiritual experience. Everybody say spiritual experience. Being born again is a spiritual experience. It's not a mental experience. It's not something that you do just on the mind and say, yeah, okay, that's a good idea. I believe that. No, you have to believe it in your heart. There's something different about believing in the heart. So it's more than just what people think, being born again. It is a spiritual experience, because when your spirit is born again, you look the same. You have the same nose, the same eyes. If you were chubby before, you're still chubby after you're born again, right? So nobody can tell. You might look happier. You might act a little different. You might say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But people think you're crazy. So that usually happens. How many of you had that experience where people think, oh, what's wrong with you anyway? Huh? You can lift your hand up. Let me ask you again, how many people, you're a little strange, that, see? I know Cindy was really crazy. She got born again, told everybody she's saved. And they kicked out her Pennsylvania, told her to come to Thunder Bay. So over here in verse 5, it's a spiritual experience that Jesus said, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? He's talking here natural, but Jesus is talking spiritual. Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born? He's talking about a natural birth. Jesus' response in verse 5, he says, verily I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He's talking about a spiritual experience through God's word. And verse 6 said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, only humans can make babies, but only the Spirit of God can make spiritual babies. So the Spirit of God, unless he's born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That was born of the flesh is flesh. That was born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said it to thee. You must be born again. What Jesus is saying here is that it's a spiritual experience, not a natural one. Natural man can only produce natural children, not spiritual children. Only God can reproduce or produce eternal life or spiritual children. We cannot produce eternal life in our children. Only God can do that. It's not a mental experience, as we've said, or just another way of thinking, a philosophy, but it's a matter of a heart something, a spiritual heart decision and experience. We have to get the Word of God in our hearts, because Jesus said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. In other words, get the Word, and the Spirit of God will do the job with you in your heart. So here, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1 Peter 1, verse 17, we'll start reading there, and verse 23. And if you call on the Father who, without respect to persons, judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received from the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. In other words, he said you were redeemed. The word redeemed means to buy back with a price. In other words, Jesus bought you with the price of his blood. He bought you back. You used to belong to God. You went into the devil's kingdom, but Jesus bought you back with his blood. Who verily foreordained before the foundation of the world what was manifested in these last times for you, verse 21, by him you do believe, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls, obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. You see here, you're born again because of the Word of God, the incorruptible seed of God, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. So the word being born again, you can see over there, by the Word of God. The one phrase at the end, by the Word of God, which liveth and abides you forever. You got born again because someone gave you the Word. I heard about Jesus all my life, that Jesus was a Savior all my life since I was a baby boy. I always went to church. My brother Ed, my cousin Ed, my cousin brother, we went to church together. We walked to church. He was walked faster than me. And we went to church. And we heard about the gospel many years, in the sense that God is the Savior, Jesus is the Savior of the world. But no one gave us the Word that you can be born again. You can be saved, though. You had to do all these gymnastics and go to the priest and go to confession every week. And God's mad at you, and make sure you go to confession. And somehow we got that impression. And, you know, you had to do all these different things, you know. And then all of a sudden I heard one man say, you can be born again, God, if you want peace with God. I said, yeah. And he said, you can have peace with God because Jesus will come in and live in your heart. I never heard of this, really, for the first time. And so, you know, and so I received Jesus and got born again. So everyone say, hear and believe. See, this is how it happens. You must hear the Word. You must hear the gospel, the good news. You must accept the good news by faith, that Jesus is the Savior of the world. God bought us back with Jesus from Satan's kingdom and placed us into his kingdom. We need to preach the gospel to everybody. Tell people. Here in Mark chapter 16, verse 5 and 16, Jesus said these words before he left for heaven, before he ascended to heaven. He said, and he said to them, go into all the world. And that might not mean China for you. It might mean Syndicate Avenue for you. It might mean Black Bay Road for you. It might mean Long Lac 58 for me, or something. You know, they say actions speak louder than words. So we can say one thing, you can tell people get saved, but you're acting like a devil, they're going to get confused. Right? So you have to have integrity, and so people will believe you easily when you live what you preach. And sometimes we fail. That's a different thing. But we must go into all the world. The world is where you live. Preach the gospel to every creature. And that's the message right there. Preach the gospel. In other words, good news. Don't say God's after you. He's going to kill you. And, you know, that kind of thing. People say all kinds of things. And they get people mad before they can actually minister to them. I see people, some of our people say bad things about powwows and different things. You shouldn't be saying all that stuff. You know, tell them about Jesus. And people will change on their own because of the word. And if they want to learn, they'll hear you when the right time comes. Praise God. Amen. It's like going to, you know, I mean, some of you ought to, you know, take care of yourself. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You know, when we believe, we're baptized into the kingdom of God because the Holy Spirit does that. So baptism in the water doesn't save you. It's just a sign of what happened to you. You're telling the world, I'm born again. When you go down in the water, come up, you're telling the world, I'm born again. You're telling yourself you're born again. It's a commitment. Jesus commands us to be baptized in water. You know, I often think about the people who live in the Arctic. You know, I got baptized in November. The 1st of November, this crazy Indian, he was preaching the gospel, and he invited all my family. I thought he was going to kill us all. But we got born again. I sure remember my baptism day, Boulevard Lake. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So we must obey the command, the good news. We must preach to everybody. Salvation is available to the whole world. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How are you going to be saved? How shall they call on him whom they have not believed? Verse 14, how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? In other words, somebody has to tell someone about Jesus. So we started a group here called, I don't know what they call them, something. But they're going out around the community to tell about Jesus in so many ways. And so we're going to do that. We want to do that. If you want to join that, talk to Nathan over here. Praise God. He's got some stories to tell. One pastor told me that Nathan is a good preacher. And he told me in the city. I'm not telling who said that. How to be saved? Being born again means being saved. When you're born again, it means you're saved. People say, "What do you mean saved? I'm okay." You know, it means salvation. This is an internal transformation that happens on the inside of you, a spiritual experience, as we mentioned, not a mental exercise. Here's what Paul said to the Roman Christians. Let's start reading from verse 8 of Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 10. 8 to the 10 here. But what said it? Even the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that the word of faith which we preach. In other words, the word is called the word of faith because it gives you faith for salvation or anything else. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is the crux of the matter. You must hear the word, and you must say, I believe, I receive Jesus Christ, he is Lord, he is my Savior, and on the inside of you, something happens. In an instant, in a moment of time, your spirit is transformed. You came from light or darkness to light. That's why they said the light came on. Let's go over here to someone who got born again. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 to 34, the King James Version. This is a jailer who got saved along with his whole family. Paul preached to him. In other words, he was sent there by God, and he preached salvation to him in a moment of time, in a hard, difficult situation. The jailer asked Paul, and thank God for people who can ask, because he must ask. He must have told him before, otherwise how would he ask him? Paul responded and spoke to the Romans later on, and you know, we need to hear, we need to accept, we need to believe. So, do you have the scripture? Acts 16, 25, we're starting from there. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. A supernatural. The keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew his outer sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought him out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy house." And he spake unto them the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. In other words, he preached to him and all the people there. And he took the same hour of the night and washed his stripes and was baptized, he and all his, that's his home, his family, straightway. And when he had brought them out into the house, he set meat before them and they rejoiced, believing God with all his house. Thank God for food. You know, it goes to show you here that any time you pull out the Bible, bring food with you. It helps. So his entire family got saved, not only the one man, but his family. Very often, the one man gets saved. One woman gets saved. Particularly, the whole family comes to Jesus. If one person comes to church, this church, your whole family will come. Hallelujah. Amen. God is great. Amen. You'll be amazed what he's going to do in your life. If we just believe. Don't try to figure it out in your bony head. Just believe the word of God. Amen. Coneheads. No. What's that on top of your head? Okay. I used to be a break dancer, someone said. You can also read a story about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, and then I believe it's chapter 8 there about the eunuch. And he was reading the book of Isaiah. He didn't know what he was reading, but Peter was got himself attached by the Spirit of God to him. And he read, he said, "Who is this speaking about?" You know, and he explained to him salvation. He got born again and got baptized at the same time. It's a good story there too. How many of you got water baptized? How many of you have baptized with water yet? Okay. How many of you never had baptism? One, two? Anybody else? Some of you didn't know whether you baptized or not. What's wrong with you? I know I'm you know, trying to be a little aggressive here, but I'm trying to be evangelistically. Stretch out the faith a little bit, you know. But you know, you need to get, Jesus told you to do it, to get baptized. If you want to, I'll baptize you right now today. I mean, we can do it, but we can set aside a date. What born again means anyway? Well, it means to be saved or to have salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10, we read that. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 speaks about it. It means becoming a new creation. That word new creation says that your species has never existed before. God recreated you. Right? And so it also means new birth. It means new life. That's what born again means. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says new birth and new life in the same breath. Over here, Titus chapter 3, verse 5, the New Living Translation says, Paul is talking to Timothy, who is also a preacher. Here's a mentor and a mentee, a young minister, an old minister. He said, "He saved us not because of our righteous things which we have done." In other words, none of us are born again because we are good little people. God didn't say, "Okay, Ken's been good enough for 7 days. Let's get him born again before he gets back out there." No, we didn't do anything to save ourselves except believe. God saved you. He didn't need your help. He did it on his own. Before you were born, before he created the world, he already ordained that we should be born again by accepting Jesus. There's nothing we can do. No amount of prayer you can do. No amount of sacrifice and giving. You can give all the money, everything in your life, and you could never earn to be born again. So, not because of the things we have done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. So that's it right there. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Everybody say new person. Now, okay, so, I realize something happens to people. They get born again, and they get all excited for about maybe 3 weeks the most. And then it comes on and off once in a while. And you get happy, and you cry, and you're just emotional. And mine kind of extended a little bit longer because I was bad. Some of you might have had longer. I got saved. I was so happy. I was saved. I went to bed every night happy. I didn't care about school. I didn't care about girlfriends. I didn't care about cars. I didn't care about anything. I just was so happy I'm born again. I lost myself, immersed myself in the Word of God. And so I got born again, but I looked the same. And everybody treated me the same. But I knew I was different on the inside, on my spirit. And so the Bible teaches us, and this is another later teaching, in Romans 12, that you must do something with your body, that is, do something with your cravings. Curb your cravings. Cravings. That's my Ojibwe that's coming out. Do something with your cravings. Why are you laughing for it? Am I still, somebody said, I don't know if maybe somebody wrote this. He said, who's got the best accent, native accent? Is it 58 people? Is it the Airland people? Is it Fort William? Who has it? They said 58. Oh, we got the best. Hey, chum. I like it, me. Amen. So anyway, I remember years ago when I first moved to Thunder Bay. This is years ago. This was before anybody was born here. I came here. I came to Thunder Bay, and I had such a strong accent. Such a strong accent, and all my family who had been living in the city for many, many years, some of them were born here, they heard me talk, and they laughed at me all the time, the way I pronounced things, enunciated, different things. But I kind of learned to talk like a Canadian now. Lost some of the accent. I kind of pronounced things a little bit differently. And learn to talk like a DJ. But anyway, why did we get into that? Anyway, but we have to do something with our bodies. And we can only do that through the Word of God. And then we have to do something with our mind. You don't just think wonderful because you got born again. You can be the same old somebody on the outside if you didn't do something with your word, with the Word of God, and change the man on the outside. And so it takes a while. We're all under construction and we're not all perfect. And that's why people sometimes get lost. They think, what's wrong with me? I thought I was born again. But no, God is working on you. Everybody say, God is working on me. Say, he's not finished with me yet. So God is working on you right now. So don't feel bad if you fail 20 times, even today. Keep going. You are brand new and God has forgiven you. And that if you died right now, no matter how much flaws you got, you'd be perfect in his sight because Jesus has washed you. Hallelujah. Amen? That you're washed clean. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that you're holy before God, without blemish before him. Clean. Say, lift your hand, say, I'm clean. So right now you're clean. You're perfect in Christ. Thank God for that. You need to hear this regularly because, the devil gets on you and whatever happens to you, you fall away because you get more and more condemned and something happens to you. Thank God that he loves you with an everlasting love. So you're a new creation. Why must you be born again? Why did Jesus come along with this aspect of a concept saying you must be born again? Well, nobody likes to be told what to do. But Jesus said you have to be born again if you want to enter the kingdom of God. So according to Genesis 2:17, all humanity died when Adam sinned. Everyone died. When he sinned, he didn't die instantly. He's not talking about dying physically there instantly. He's talking about spiritual death. He said, if you touch this and disobey me, you will die. And he died. The Bible says everything became, he became ashamed. He became, whatever. Sin entered the world. It affected not only him, but it affected the whole planet. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, the whole world, the earth itself, the physical world, is crying out to God right now. Nature is crying out to God. All the alligators are crying out to Jesus. Huh? So every aspect of, Genesis 2:17 says, New Living, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil, if you eat the fruit, you are sure to die. That's what he told Adam. But he didn't die there physically. He died 900 years later. We were here, this guy, what's his name, this apologist? He came here and he talked about different things. Myself, I came in really late because there was some other thing. And he talked about, this whole planet and everything and how the world is old and they lived longer because of something to do with the atmosphere and all the, everything's alive. The world is getting old, right? And they say in heaven you can eat a fruit and this revives you. So, there's life. So Adam died. He didn't die physically. He died spiritually and then eventually died physically as a result. It says here that in Romans chapter 5, verse 12 to 17, when Adam died, every one of us died. Romans says that we all died. Here in Romans 5, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone. For everyone sinned. Yes, the people sinned even before the law was given. But it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. So if you don't know something, you don't sin. According to that. Yet everyone died at the time Adam, from the time of Adam to Moses, even those who did not disobey except the explicit commandments of God, as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol and representation of Christ who was yet to come, but this is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of one man's sin. Even for Adam's sin led to condemnation. But God's free gift leads our being made right with God, with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace in his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. So the Bible says death ruled. Death dominated us until Jesus came. You can say no now to different things because you have the power to say no. A lot of people don't know that. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21, you see, just as death came to the whole world through a man, now that resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 21 to 22. So right now we have new life or eternal life. So here's another scripture. Ephesians 2, 1 and 6. I told you we're going to give you a lot of scriptures. You need to know this. We still have 6 minutes. Okay. So I understand sometimes, I'm giving a lot of scriptures. Some of you can't follow right away. It's early in the morning for you. But it's good to read scriptures. You can just sit back and relax, close your eyes, and I'll give you the scripture. So, you don't have to write feverishly. Like some of you, stressed out, go to Pastor Roman's church. You can just take what you want, right? And listen to it later. So, why we need to be born again? That's the question. We're still on it. Ephesians chapter 2, start reading from verse 1. Why you have to be born again? Why you have to have new life? So it says here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, once you were dead. He's not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death. Everyone was spiritually dead. Everyone is spiritual, whether or not you're born again. Everyone is spiritual. But we want spiritual, eternal life, the life of God in us. He says, because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world obeying the devil, the commander of the power of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. In other words, you used to do whatever you want to do. If it makes you feel good, do it. That's how it is. I know when I was brought up in a democratic kind of profession I was in. I was brought up in I learned for five years in an institution where they taught us as professional people, whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. So that's what I was taught, but I knew on the inside of me, this is not right. Okay, yeah, they have free choice, but it's still not right. So by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger. The King James says, I believe it says God's wrath. Okay? Just like everyone else. But God is so rich in his mercy. He loved us so much. Amen. See, God loved you before you were even born, before you were here. And verse 5, even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life, or this new life, or eternal life, when he raised Jesus from the dead. When you raise Christ from the dead, it is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Verse 6, for he raised us up from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms. Right now, you've been raised up with Jesus according to the scripture, and you're seated with Jesus in heavenly realms. You're not trying to pray your way to heaven. You're already there. Amen. With God. You're there. You know... When I came from one church, we used to say, we're going to go on Tuesday, it's intercession, we're going to bombard the gates of heaven and break in. Well, that's the idea we had, you know? I mean, it sounds pretty good. Okay, we got these brave soldiers in the church, they're intercessors, and they just break down God's door every week. And they ask God whatever favors they want. But no, you don't have to, just come on in. The Bible says, come on in. Door's open. You don't break in your dad's house every time you want to go there. Right, you just walk in. In fact, you go in the freezer and take out some food and go shopping. I used to see my uncle would come in, and my cousin and I would be playing in my grandmother's house, and my uncle would come in, and he'd go there and take all whatever food he wanted. I said, this guy is stealing it. He'd go ahead and take food. Well, there was a freedom there. So I was staying with Ed Wesley when we went to my wife and I took my wife. She never lived on a reserve or never been to a reserve, so I took her to Gunugaming to see the Wesley. So we went there one night, and we stayed there, and all of a sudden the doors coming open, creaking open at 11:30 at night. Somebody walks in, goes to the kitchen, and takes out food and walks out again. My wife said, what's going on here? I said, oh, that's how they do it here, the reserve. It is to go ahead and take food. Well, that's a custom. So you didn't have to break in. It was open. So as far as you're concerned, you can go to see God every time. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, Jesus says, come on in. Come on in anytime, day or night. You don't have to wait for the pastor. You don't have to wait for the prayer meeting. You don't have to wait for anybody. Just come on in. What do you want? Everybody say, come on in. Lift your hands up. Say, come on in. Come on in. So that's what you have to do. Remember, God wants you there. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, I believe it's verse 12 somewhere on there, it says there that God's eyes are on the righteous and his ears are listening to their prayers. He wants you to pray. He wants to hear from you today, right now. Nom gum, right now. Yeah, you know? So, he saved us from judgment. There's a judgment coming, but you won't be there. You will not be judged. God erased every offense against against you. Any kind of claim against you. The devil might accuse you, but it's not there. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 says this. They speak how you are looking towards the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He's the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. Because you have Jesus, God will not judge you. He judged Jesus on the cross for you. And he sent him to hell for you. And by identification, you went there with him. And when he got him back, he got you back. Raised him up. Chapter 2, verse 16 says, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is coming upon them to the uttermost, but not on us. There is a penalty coming. So, we're going to skip right down here. There's some death that we need to understand. There's three kinds of death you and I need to be concerned about. Number one is spiritual death. Genesis 2 and John chapter 5, verse 22 talks about passing from death to life. When you come to Jesus, you pass from death to life, from darkness to light. So spiritual death is being in darkness. But you're not there. You're light now. You're in the kingdom of light. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16 says, you know, the people who sat in darkness saw great light. You know, when I got born again, light came on. I know that for sure. I experienced it. There's something called physical death. James chapter 2, verse 26, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, 20, and 23 talks about physical death. One day we will all die physically. Our body will go decay, go back to dust, and our spirits will go to heaven. But one day, no matter where your body is, God will take your body and bring it back together. Even as blown in a million pieces, God will take it back miraculously and put it back together again. That's another subject. That's another story. There's something called eternal death where people will be judged. The Bible says that one day hell itself and those that are dead spiritually will be thrown into the lake of fire. That's talking about, you know, those who refuse Jesus. But you won't be there. You don't ever have to think about that. You're free from that. You won't be judged. But we will be going to the judgment seat of Christ, where Paul and those guys will slap you around a little bit. No, you'll just be getting gifts and more gifts. Yeah. So before you were born again, here's some things to think about. I'm going to close real quickly. I'm going to move real fast. Now watch out. So there's spiritual death, physical death, and spiritual death, or eternal death. Those are three things you got to talk about. Revelation 20 talks about that. And John chapter 3, verse 16 and 19 talks about spiritual death. So, our position before you got saved, this is where you were. Matthew 4, 16, I mentioned it. You were sitting in darkness. You were in prison. The devil had you. In Isaiah 42, 7, the Bible says you were in a prison cell, a prison house. You were held against your will by Satan. He controlled you by your mind and your physical appetites and your passions. He drove you to do certain things. And 2 Corinthians 4, 4 says that before you were born again, you were blind. Spiritually, you couldn't see things. You read the Bible, didn't make sense to you. People tell you about different things. You just said, "Nah, I don't believe that." You were blind. When I was in college, God sent a man by the name of Brian Beardy to sit right beside me. He bugged me all year about being born again and that I needed Jesus. I laughed at him, and I would tease him after services about Jesus being born again. And he argued with me. I said, no, alcoholism, you know, it's a sickness itself. It's not really a sin. He said, no, it's a sin. So we fought sin, sickness, sin, sickness, sin, sickness, sin. And so, but it's both. He was right, I was right. And so he taught, he teased me, and I got born again after. In fact, not only that, but his dad, God sent his dad to my house. And my dad got born again. I got born again. And I got so full of the Holy Spirit. And Absalom Beardy came to our house. God sent him there. Little Beardy was not enough. And so I got saved under that ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. So I was blind. I laughed at him for a long time. And I used to laugh at, all those preachers. I used to laugh at, what's his name, the 2400 Street. David Menz, I'd laugh at him. Just laugh at him. I'm thinking right now, I said, you're probably laughing at me right now. I'm scared of life. Anyway, so Romans 5 and 6. He said, you were without strength. You were powerless over different things. But now you receive empowerment from God's Spirit. Ephesians 2, 1 to 2 said you were spiritually dead, but now you're alive in God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says you're under the control of darkness, but not anymore. You're not controlled by Satan's kingdom. You're delivered. You're delivered. You're delivered right now. I was sitting one time in a meeting in Kenora, Ontario, and the Lord spoke to me out of my spirit. He said, you know what? And you've been talking about this for a long time, about being chained. I used to complain about going to meetings. I have to go to meetings. I have to go to meetings. I have to go to meetings because I needed to stay sober. And the light came on, bang. Colossians 1:13. You're delivered. Doesn't mean I have to go back and use again, but I'm delivered. I know I'm delivered. I'm delivered. I'm completely delivered from addictions. Not only from the addiction itself, from the effects of addictions. Something God did in me. And so I don't tell everybody to do what I did. You got to have revelation of it yourself. Amen. Amen? So John 5:24 says you pass from death to life when you get born again. I'm talking about being born again, what it means to be born again. You pass from darkness to light. You pass from spiritual death to spiritual life. And kingdom of darkness cannot control you anymore. You are under God's kingdom. Amen. You know, you are. So, here are some things you need to know about the facts of being born again. Number one, you are new. You're a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 just said you're a new creation. You have new life now. You're born again. Now, you might not be reflective of that in every area because maybe you have neglected to work on being spiritually renewed or spiritually have spiritual growth in your life. You could be born again for 25 years and still remain a baby for all those years. Right, it takes the word and the practice of God's word. Just like if you went to exercise, you could know all the, you could have a membership there. You could know all the stuff that's there. You might even try some every once in a while. But if you don't use it, you'll never become stronger. Right? So it's the same thing spiritually. If you don't use something, you lose it. So you're a new person. You have a brand new heart. Everybody say, I have a brand new heart. Thank you, Lord. You're recreated. The Bible says in Ezekiel 11, 19 to 20, the Bible says, I'll give you a new heart, a tender heart, a heart that loves God. God will even give you a love to love Him. So, you're a new creation. You are one with Jesus. The Bible says that 1 Corinthians 6:17, that the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. You and Jesus are like twins. You look like Jesus. You're just like Him. You're just like Him. You're in Him. You're one with Him. You're joined with Him. Here's another thing. Because you're in Christ, nothing shall be impossible for you. Matthew 19:26 says, Jesus looked at them intently. He said, humanly speaking, it's impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Amen. If God is for us, who can be against us? The Bible says the Holy Spirit indwells you. Holy Spirit lives inside you. You got a helper inside you. You got a strengthener inside you right now. The Holy Spirit lives in you. John 4:4 said, he that's within you is greater than he that's in the world. He lives inside of you. He lives in me. Remember that song? How many remember that song? Is that the Lion King? Yeah. How many of you saw the Lion King? I mean, we're all crying. We're all crying watching the Disney show. My wife's like, where's the door? So, well, how do you get this? First of all, hear the message of the gospel. Believe it. Receive it. Act on it. Amen?